So I'll go ahead and begin with the sermon. And brethren, as you think about what we heard in the sermonette about freedom, and you consider the freedoms that we have in this country, we have a lot compared to many other countries on earth. We are so blessed and in so many ways. And all throughout the year, we should reflect on God's blessings to consider how much we've been given in comparison to people living in various countries. You think about the extreme poverty that is in certain countries like China or India or Russia. I mean, you could go to almost every country and there's a lot of poverty. It's estimated that 50% of the world lives on less than $2.50 per day. So now you put that as a comparison into your life and just think how far you would get in a day with only that amount. And that's how half of the world lives. If we expand that out a little bit, 80% of the world lives on $10 a day or less. So I think most of us fall into that upper 20%, that we have so much that we've been given. And to consider that many in the world would be happy just to have a small fraction, just a little bit of what you and I have. So as we think about that, brethren, it behooves us to realize how blessed we are and to give thanks for that. Let's begin today in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1. As we look at the scriptures in the Bible, it reveals to us how important it is to consider our blessings, to think about what God has given each one of us and to respond accordingly. Let's read a few verses here. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1, Paul writes, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." He's telling us that it's going to come secretly to the majority of people on this earth. And we, as called out ones, should recognize that coming time as events in the world get worse. But God is warning us, wanting us to be awake and alert. Let's skip down to verse 4. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief." So if we consider that, God is admonishing us to really stay close to him, because any light that shines from us comes from him. God is light. And he's asking us to consider that. Verse 6, "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." So we're not only to watch world events as wars increase, as people's human nature comes out, but we're also to watch ourselves and to really think about how we are. Are we in line with God, with his truth, with his words and commands? We're to be watching all of that so that it doesn't take us as a thief in the night. Let's read a few of the things that Paul admonishes us to do as we're awaiting this day of the Lord, the return of Jesus Christ. Going to verse 14, it goes on to say, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." So just think about these things as we apply them to our lives. We need to be very careful that we're thinking about these items and putting them into practice. Verse 15, "See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all." So just general guidelines here of things that are very good practices that we need to include in our lives so that we are ready for the return of Christ. But let's notice a few more here that are mentioned. Verse 16, "Rejoice always." And I just spoke on that recently. We think about how important it is that we should be joyful, even through the trials we go through, to look at them in a positive light. To rejoice always, to pray without ceasing. And verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Continuing on, it says, "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." And we could expand on that. Even the appearance of evil, we have to consider that if it's being a negative example to someone, even though it may not be a sin, if it causes someone else to sin or think in that direction, we need to abstain from that. But my focus here in all that we read is verse 18. "In everything, give thanks." Do we do that? Are we growing in that? Are we doing better than when we first came to the knowledge of God's truth. This is an area for all of us to be growing in, and I'm not suggesting that any one of us is doing poorly in this, only that we can do better, that we can improve. And so it's easy for us to overlook these four simple words. Because it doesn't just say to give thanks, it says in everything. And so you start expanding that out and think about how many different areas there are in life that we should be thankful for. So that's my title today, In Everything, Give Thanks. Let me give you a few synonyms for the word thank. That word means to acknowledge, to recognize, to show appreciation. It means to be grateful. And God is asking us as children to have those qualities in our life, to improve in them. The Greek word for give thanks means to express gratitude. Think about that. So this is telling us that we not only need to be thankful for everything, but we need to express it. We need to give thanks. We need to verbalize it so that people hear it. And that can be hard for some of us. If you're shy, it might be hard to always speak out and say things. Or we can be forgetful. So many different factors there. But here we're commanded to do that. We shouldn't leave out an area in our life then. Whatever area that is, God is saying in everything, we should include that. So if you'd like, join me, or I won't do it, but if you'd like, close your eyes for a moment and just think if the rest of your life you went through it with what you can see right now, with your eyes closed. Totally blind, not able to see, even trying to get home from today. I mean, let's say you drove here, but now your life changed. How do you even find your car? You couldn't drive home. When you get home, if somebody else drove you, where's the front door? You know, point me in that direction. How many steps is it? And you just think about, just to have our eyesight, how important that is. So you can open your eyes if you closed them. But brethren, just to consider that even eating a meal, that if you had a fork in your hand and even somebody prepared the food and set it in front of you, that how would you even know you had food on your fork? I mean, we take so many things for granted. And so in talking about giving thanks, you can see how everything, just our eyesight, just hearing, being able to walk, every part of life has been given to us, and we should be appreciative of that. Of course, we should give thanks to God, because He is our creator. He is our life giver. He's the one who heals us. He's the one who protects us and watches over us. And so our thanks should always be directed to Him. But we can also do it to individuals, individuals that might help you, individuals that maybe even set a good example, to give thanks to them. Say, thank you for the example you set or the dedication you show. Whether physical or spiritual blessings, we can show thanks through both our words and our actions. To take that into factor and to realize that we can improve in our life. And then notice verse 18 as we read it again, that this is the will of God. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Well, with that command, anything we read in the Bible, we already know it's God's will. But here we're told it again. It's as if it's a double emphasis, that God is saying, I want you to remember how important this is. In preparing to be my children and getting ready for my kingdom, I want you to just remember that giving thanks is a part of His character, and He wants us as His children to have that same quality in our lives. And so my focus today is not just on thankfulness, but giving thanks, to be able to express it, to show it. Because the scriptures encourage us not to hold that inside. God is saying, let it out, talk about it, and help others through your words to encourage them and lift them up. You know, we know this, a week from Thursday is Thanksgiving, and this is a wonderful time of the year when our country has a wonderful holiday that it expresses, you know, how we feel and how our forefathers felt, and that truly our blessings do come from God. But not only during this time of the year, all throughout the year, when we meet together, as we go to school, we go to work, we need to give thanks or to offer thanksgiving, as this time of year is referred to. Because giving thanks is a characteristic that God is developing in each one of us. He wants that quality in His children for us to improve in it. And no matter what trials you're going through, don't we still have a lot to be thankful for? You know, some of you have aches and pains. Some of you have financial difficulties. Others are looking for work. Others hope to get married. There's all these things that people struggle with or have trials or hoping for. And yet, if we made a list of the physical blessings that we have, I think we would be surprised. You know, I wrote down a few. Let me just mention them. First of all, this country. The country we live in has been blessed by God probably far above most countries on earth. And you think about the vastness of it. If you start driving today to the other coast, there's a lot of land there, isn't there? God gave us vast lands to enjoy. You think about all the coastlines we have, where people can live next to the beach, people can fish and so forth. A lot of countries are landlocked, and they have no coastline. So we have that. We have lakes and rivers. We have forests. We have fertile ground. You think about all the corn and the wheat and everything that's grown, you know, in the breadbasket area. We have minerals. You know, there's gold mines and silver mines and copper mines. We have coal. I mean, God gave us a country, and he put all that here, and we are so blessed. So that would be one physical blessing. We heard in the sermonette about freedom. Brethren, we have the freedom to travel, unlike a lot of countries, especially in the past. People couldn't even, let's say in Europe, travel from one country to another without crossing and having guards and a border check. But we can travel from state to state. It's wonderful to have those freedoms, even the freedom of religion to meet here today. Some countries don't allow that. They say, you know, you have to follow the religion of the country, and you better not step outside that, or they can imprison you, they can persecute you. So we still have that freedom. One day it most likely will be taken away. We have an abundance in so many areas. You think about just the area of food. I don't know that anybody here is going hungry, and yet so many nations, so many people on earth don't have very much food. And you think about, as you walk into the grocery store, the amount of variety. Whether it's a loaf of bread, it's not that we just have enough bread there. It's just, look at, you have rye bread, and you have this kind of bread, and sourdough bread, we have so much. And I think we take that for granted, whereas other countries would be grateful that when the store, they go into the store that hasn't run out. So we have all that. And I used to live in Colorado, and they had nice paved roads, but as you get off and go into the, you know, in the mountain area, there were a lot of gravel roads. So if you got off the main highway, you started driving on a gravel road, it made me really appreciative of the paved roads, because it didn't pitch your windows from the rocks flying up. It wasn't washboardy effect where you're driving on it and your car's jumping around. But then even when you got to the end of the gravel roads, there were dirt roads. And in Colorado, they had a lot of clay, and when it got wet, it was so slick. And so when you get into areas like that, if you have a home down that road, you are grateful for a paved road. And so look at how our roads are in this country. And so those are just a few things, but I encourage you to write a list, to think about things that we should not only be thankful for, but that we should express thanks for. I think we all realize that we should do that more, that we really need to make the effort to thank God and to thank people around us about how grateful we are for everything we've been given. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. As you're turning there, consider that the phrase "give thanks" is mentioned 44 times throughout the Bible. We know God wants us to be thankful, but he literally tells us to go a step beyond that, to give thanks. And as we follow that command, we are learning more about God's way of love. He's teaching us his quality, his character. And yet Paul here writes to Timothy, and he tells us how things are going to become as we draw near to the end of the age. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, he says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." He's saying terrible times. This word can mean difficult times, dangerous times. And we have it so good today, but it will get worse. And then he continues with verse 2, "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers." I mean, when we read these, we go, these are terrible things that are going to increase. "Disobedient to parents." And then look at what's next. "Unthankful." We're going to see that condition increase as the years go by. In fact, if you think back to your childhood, if you're in your 60s, 70s, 80s, you've already seen a lot of this change since you were a young boy or girl, that a lot of people are less thankful today than when we were children. And so unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness but deny its power, and from such people turn away. Paul is reminding us that as we draw closer to the return of Christ, these conditions will increase. And when you think about that, you look at some of these and you go, a blasphemer? That is a terrible sin. And we know it is, but think about it. God put unthankful right there in the midst of that. And we need to consider that, how important it is that this is just as much a sin to God to not be thankful for all that he's given us, all that we have and enjoy on a daily basis. And so being thankful teaches us to look at things in a positive way. Just like we're warned through Paul in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, he tells us, think on these things. And he mentions things that are true and noble and pure, things that are just and of a good report. And the more we think on those, it's easier for us to then be thankful and not be always, as it says here, unforgiving and unloving, slanderers. And so God is teaching us how to think so that we aren't like the world, but we're coming out of that. As we look at our nation at this point in time, we see that there's a lot of people that are unthankful, and we don't want to be included with that group. We want to set a good example. So we should ask ourselves, are we careful not to fall into that trend, to kind of slip into that downward motion that this nation will have as we get closer to the return of Christ? Years ago, when Belinda was working in Publix in the bakery section, little kids would come up and always want a cookie, and they'd always give them one. But a lot of times, the children wouldn't say thank you, and then the parent would remind them, oh, please say thank you, and they still wouldn't. And we would talk about that when she got home and shared that, just how it's so different. When we were kids, if we didn't say thank you, I don't think our parents would allow us to have the cookie. But times are changing where parents go, well, okay, and they'll still let the kid do what they want. And so we have to consider that just because the nation is walking in that direction, that we don't want to do the same. Even the Sabbath service is a small opportunity for us to be thankful. As we come, the greeters are there to welcome you, but we can literally thank them, or to greet people that set up the sound system, or take care of setting up the potlucks, or all the multitude of jobs that are done on a regular basis. This is a great place to grow in expressing our thanks. We simply have the opportunity to encourage people that are working hard and serving, but we can lift them up in that sense by a simple expression of gratitude. So we should tell others often of how they're doing. Even our children, have you ever noticed, you can kind of put a light in their eye when they're doing something, and let's say their homework, something they maybe don't even enjoy all the time, but if you say you're doing a great job, keep up the good work, and so forth, it makes a difference. So whether it's your mates or your friends, the individuals you work with, we need to work better at encouraging them and thanking them, giving thanks. And of course, you can do it not only in person, but you can call someone, you can email them, and you can write them a letter and just share what God is telling us here to do, to give thanks. Brethren, we don't always know when someone's discouraged, and those little words can sometimes pick us up a lot, and it's important for us to consider that. It can brighten a person's day. Let's go back to Luke chapter 17 and look at an example that Jesus Christ mentions. He shows us through these stories of how important our thankfulness and expressing thanks is. Luke 17, verse 12. Luke chapter 17, verse 12. Before I read that, have you ever prayed and asked for God's help? In whatever it might have been, you said, God, please open the door here. Please open this possibility up. And then he answers it. And I know in my life, there was a time when I prayed about something. I was trying to sell a house, and I prayed about it. And it happened so fast that a buyer came on the very first day. The ad came out in the paper, and they came and put down a deposit, made an offer. And then it hit me later that I didn't thank God for it. It happened so fast. And so that time, I was kind of surprised, like, I need to go do that right away. But at times, there are things that we ask for that we don't even give thanks for. And so this account reveals how important that is to show appreciation. Let's notice a little bit here, Luke 17, verse 12. Then as he, Jesus, entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Now you look at that, and we can read right over that, but the reason they were standing afar off, because in those days the law required people with leprosy to stand at least 50 yards away from people. You know, they thought, okay, this disease is contagious. We'll contain it by separating the people. And so they lived a life where they couldn't mingle with people. And so it kind of shows that here as we read this. Verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. So going to the priest was a requirement of the law. When you first had a sign of some ailment, say of a skin disease, you had to go to the priest and they declared whether based on all these things. And if you go back to Leviticus 13 and 14, it describes in detail what they had to do. So whether they were, the condition was just starting or whether it was ending, they still had to go to the priest to verify both ways. And that's what Jesus Christ was telling them, to follow the law and go to the priest, and they would determine whether they were cured of their condition and allow them to go back and mingle with people and so forth. But Jesus Christ didn't ask these 10 men to come back. He didn't ask them to show appreciation. But let's read a little further here, because he wants that appreciation that we have, that thankfulness, to come from our heart, for it to come naturally as we grow up. And just like our parents teach us, you know, say thank you, we tell them with the idea that eventually it'll be ingrained in them and it'll come from their heart. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down at his face, at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? So even though he didn't tell them come back and say thank you, you can see that Jesus, through this example, is teaching us, he wants us to do that, to know that it's right to give thanks, just as they all should have, but only the one did that. And at that time, Samaritans were not well thought of by the community. They were looked down as outcasts. And so only one here returns to give thanks, and they were despised by the Jews, and yet he still was willing to do that. And I think it just teaches us a good example that we need to make the extra effort to return, even if the other 9, so to speak, continue on, because they wanted to hurry up and get to that priest. They wanted to be, you know, okayed by the priesthood to go back and live a normal life. But this man took the time to turn around and go back. Consider how hard that might have been. And yet, this man knew it was important to give thanks, so we can learn from that. In looking at this, I realized this Samaritan displayed 3 excellent traits of being thankful. One, he was prompt. You know, if we put off things too long, many times we forget. But it says, you know, here he is on the way to go to the priest. And it says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned. So he didn't even get there. And you think about how important that is to be prompt. We don't want to put off giving thanks to someone. Secondly, he did it with his whole heart. And you notice the appreciation or the enthusiasm that he had. When he, you know, falls on his face, he also showed a sign of humility. So those are the 3 things I just wanted to bring out. Promptness, he did it with his whole heart, and he was humble. Because our attitude in how we give thanks is critical, vital to God. These qualities need to be practiced by us as well, that we input them into our lives so that we can be growing in that way. I'll begin in verse 17 again. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to them, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." So if we look at verses 15 and 18, it shows that the Samaritan was giving glory to God. So just by giving thanks, it shows that's a way to give God glory. And I think we should think about that. And you can turn that around and take a lesson from it. When we fail to give thanks to God, we're also failing to give him the glory that is due his name. I mean, he is worthy of that worship, worthy of praise, and it's important for us to make the effort to do that. Jesus was clearly disappointed in the reaction of the nine, because this was a huge, life-changing event. And yet they just overlooked the part of giving thanks. And we can do that as well. So God is asking us to really stop and consider that. You know, they might have forgot. They might have been caught up in the moment or thought, I'll go back and do that later. But it seems that they didn't. So consider all the blessings that we enjoy and how easy it is to overlook whether we went back and thanked someone. Webster's dictionary shows a similarity between giving glory, praising, and offering thanks. Let me just read a few definitions here to see how they're all interconnected. The word thanksgiving, it means the act of expressing gratitude for favors or mercies, an acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness. Truly, this was the goodness of God, this healing. Especially to acknowledge the goodness of God was the next part of the definition. And you think about all that is a part of our thanksgiving. That's what God is asking us to do. First and foremost to him, but then to our fellow men. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 107. Psalm 107 and verse 1. We'll notice scattered throughout the Psalms, you know, the admonition really to give thanks to God. It's an important part for us to remember as we walk through our daily lives. Psalm 107, verse 1. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Eternal, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." If you skip down to verse 8, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Eternal for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men." See how important this is? Now, if you were to read this whole chapter, you would see that verse 8 is repeated again in verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. It's so important that God says, I'm going to have this one verse repeated four times here so that people can get my point. Because this is a quality that God wants each one of us to grow in. So there's two words here connected. The word glorify, I mentioned earlier, that word means to praise, to magnify and honor in worship, in thought or words. And we know God wants us to praise him. He is worthy of that. And then the word praise now means honor rendered because of excellence or worth, especially the joyful tribute of gratitude rendered to the divine being. And so when you think about all the many blessings that God has given to you, whether physical or spiritual, there's so many. And so we can't really thank God enough for all that he's done. Let's turn back a few pages to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, verse 4. Starting in verse 4, Psalm 100, it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving." That's how God wants us to come before him. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." So see how the two words start being tied together? "Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations." So we see that these words tie together beautifully. And yet at times we can neglect them, can't we? To not praise God, to not glorify God, and especially not to thank God. And yet our Father in heaven wants his children to show appreciation. And I think each one of us can do better in that. We can make an effort to improve in how we do that as we go forward in life. There's blessings that we may take for granted. You know, just having a roof over our heads. What a tremendous blessing. Being able to just hear sounds, to be able to walk. Great blessings that we have. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, and we'll look at verse 10. I think as we go through our day, every single day, we need to thank God for all of our blessings. And if we don't, here's an example of ancient Israel. The Israelites, God gave them so much. And yet he says, if you aren't careful with it, it can be taken away. Deuteronomy 6, verse 10. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. Now you talk about a blessing. Think about how much work in those days, without all the power tools and the equipment and so forth, to clear the land and all the things we have today. God says, I'm going to give you cities. They're already there. The thousands of hours of stacking the bricks and building the walls, it's all there. Verse 11, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. Think about that. God was going to offer them so much. He was going to have them remove the people and go into this land that was, you know, abundant in so many ways, and even give them homes to live in and items in those homes to enjoy. But then it says, when you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Rather, sometimes when we have all these blessings, in a sense, when we're full with all these things, it's easy to forget to be thankful for them, not to go to God and continually tell him how grateful we are. It's important to do that because we receive blessings from God that we don't deserve, just as the Israelites, they didn't deserve to be brought out of slavery or to be given this land of promise. Same for us. But God is commanding us to live by his laws. And I won't read all of this chapter, but it shows that when we begin to turn away from God, when we aren't thankful, when we don't live by his laws, God can take that away. Let's go to we'll go to verse 24 in a minute. Let me just mention first some of the additional blessings. I mentioned a few there to begin with. But think about your education. Now, if you were growing up in a foreign country, there are places on earth where they don't even offer education because the little children have to work from sun up to sundown because they have to provide just to get, you know, a little crop or to carry water from a stream with a bucket over here. They have to work so hard just to have a meal at the end of the day. And so here we are in a country where there's education for all of us, if we want it. We go to school, we can go to college, and yet in some countries they don't allow the women to be taught and educated to a higher level, or the cost is so prohibitive that many aren't able to do it. So we have that blessing. In addition to that, think of our health. And even though some of us aren't in the best of health, there's always someone that's worse than us. And so we should thank God for the life and the health that we do have. I remember years ago, I visited one of my cousins. I was only 6 years old, and my cousin was in Minnesota, and I was in California, and I'd never seen her before. But around the age of six, my family visited there, and she was laying in a bed. And I saw that, and I looked at her. She couldn't talk, and I found out, as they told me more, that she'd lived that way her whole life since birth. She wasn't able to really move. She couldn't feed herself, couldn't clothe herself, couldn't get up. She just laid there. And I think a couple years later after I saw her, I don't even remember her name. But the point is that child, my cousin, lived that way her whole life. And to think then, as we apply that to ourselves, are we thankful for the health we have just to be able to come here today, just to be able to see our way in here with eyes to see and so forth? We have so many things to be thankful for. You know, sometimes our leg hurts, but then we have to think about the person who their leg doesn't work right and they're crippled and they can't walk properly, or the person with no leg. So there's always things to be thankful for and then to express that thanks to God. One other topic would be our homes. It's so easy to take for granted that you You open the door and you go into your home and you have a living room and a dining room and bedrooms and a bathroom. A lot of people throughout history, and even at this time in various countries, just have one room, or some of them don't have homes and they live in refugee camps. So many different conditions where someone doesn't even have a bathroom in their home, or they don't have heat and air. And we go, oh, I'm a little hot, I'll turn up the air conditioner. Brethren, God is saying, give thanks for all these things that after a while we can just take for granted. Because look at verse 24 here in the same chapter, Deuteronomy 6, verse 24. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. So God was telling the children of Israel, you better appreciate what you have. And of course they didn't, and they were taken into captivity. But we can learn lessons from that. God wants us to realize that all our blessings are for our good. They're from God. And we need to look at life positively. I looked at an article here a couple years back, and it was entitled, 7 Scientifically Proven Benefits of Gratitude That Will Motivate You to Give Thanks Year-Round. And so I pulled a couple of the points from this article. Why? Because they tie in with the Bible. It's exactly what God has already told us. And this writer, this was written by Amy Morin back in November of 2014. But a lot of her points and the studies that she mentions are in line with the Bible. It's things God already said, this is what happens, but you know how slow man is to agree with the Bible. They have to go out and prove it themselves, and then they come to the same understanding. So let me mention a few of her points. Her first point is, gratitude opens the door to more relationships. Basically, she's saying, you can improve in how you encounter people, basically on your gratitude, on giving thanks. I'll read a few sentences from that point. Not only does saying thank you constitute good manners, but showing appreciation can help you win new friends, according to a 2014 study. So once again, man has to, he doesn't look to the Bible, he goes to the studies and they end up finding out what God told us thousands of years ago. The study found that thanking a new acquaintance makes them more likely to seek an ongoing relationship. So whether you thank a stranger for holding the door, or you send a quick thank you note to that coworker who helped you with a project, acknowledging other people's contributions can lead to new opportunities. So here are a few of the attributes that God has spoken of all along, that if we show that gratitude, if we openly express it, it can develop things. You know, as I was looking at this point, it made me think of Proverbs 16:24. I'll just refer to it. It says, pleasant words, so there's our gratitude. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. And so how we use our words is so very important. Expressing thanks can benefit our very quality of life. Think about it this way. When we give thanks for things, it doesn't cost us anything to do that. And it doesn't take much time. But if you consider this, the payback is huge of what God is teaching us and preparing us for. A second point was gratitude improves physical health. Now, who here doesn't want to be in good physical health? So if we offer more gratitude, it can lend towards that. She says, grateful people experience fewer aches and pains, and they report feeling healthier than other people. Once again, according to a 2012 study. Not surprisingly, grateful people are also more likely to take care of their health. It goes on to say they exercise more often, etc. So look at the frame of mind that God's trying to put in us. This idea of giving thanks, it begins to bring all these benefits. A scripture I found with this point, Proverbs 12, verse 18, reads, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. See, as we offer that gratitude, that promotes health. And this is what the study finds, but this is what God told us all along. And so the scriptures command us to give thanks, but as a man researches this, we begin to see the blessings that come from this. Her third point was gratitude improves psychological health. She mentions gratitude reduces a multitude of toxic emotions. ranging from envy and resentment to frustration and regret. Robert Emmons, PhD, a leading gratitude researcher, has conducted multiple studies on the link between gratitude and well-being. His research confirms that gratitude effectively increases happiness and reduces depression. I mean, instead of going to a doctor, we can say, wow, if I just change this, I can already improve my condition. I thought of this scripture, Proverbs 12:25. It says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. So once again, God's wisdom has stated these scriptures that tie in with what man took years and years to study to come around to see how important gratitude is as a part of our life. So being grateful changes how we view life. If we would only follow the instructions of our Creator, our lives would be so much better. Her fourth point was gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. She says, grateful people are more likely to behave in a loving manner, even when others behave less kind, according to a 2000 study by the University of Kentucky. The participants who ranked higher on gratitude scales were less likely to retaliate against others, even when given negative feedback. So look at the different mindset there. When people treated them bad, they actually did better because of offering thanks. They experienced more sensitivity and empathy toward other people and a decreased desire to seek revenge. God's way always works, doesn't it? That if we offer thanks, if we give and express our thanks, we have all these positive things that come from it. And this is totally in line with the Bible. Once again, Proverbs 14, verse 30. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. So the more we express gratitude to put away the envy, the healthier we are in so many different ways. Now here's one that we can all, especially as you get older and if you don't sleep well. Point number 5, grateful people sleep better. So if you don't sleep well, maybe think about offering more expressions of thanksgiving. Writing in a journal, a gratitude journal, improves sleep, according to a 2011 study. Spend just 15 minutes jotting down a few grateful sentiments before bed, and you may sleep better and longer. So how good that is when you think about that. And I think that's a great idea, but think about what God's even admonished us to do. You know, he tells us to pray morning, noon, and night. And so how good is it when we get on our knees before going to bed and we offer thanksgiving to God for all he's done? It would tie right in with this, which then allows the mind to sleep better because we change our thinking from all the stress of the day, and it's more about, I'm just grateful to have God's protection. I'm grateful to have this home. I'm grateful for my family and friends. And we begin thanking God instead of complaining or all the other things we do during the day. Let's go back to the New Testament, to Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Here we have a requirement. When we're asking God things, he's saying, here's what you need to do. Philippians 4, verse 6, breaking into a thought here, Paul writes, be anxious for nothing. And so that word anxious, you could put in there, don't worry about anything. Don't fret about many of the things in life that we do worry about. It goes on to say, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This is what God is asking us when we come before him, when we petition him. He's saying to do it with thanksgiving. And we see the health benefits from it. We know it's important to do. And so, brethren, we must not look at prayer as a chore. You know, when I was a child, and we're set, you know, my parents said, go say your prayers. It's like, I got to get that out of the way. And during our lives, even as adults, if we're busy, we're tired, it can seem like a chore, but we need to turn that around and realize it's a privilege to come before God and to thank him for all he's done and all the things he will do as we ask for protection and guidance and healing. And so I just thought of that. you know, as we grow up from some of these things, we can get that negative outlook towards items that God has asked us to do, commanded us for our own good. And he goes, we should look at it more positive. And if you think about Queen Esther and how her husband, who was the king, she couldn't even come before him without his petition, you know, agreeing that you can come. If he didn't hand out his scepter and she approached him, her life could be taken. And yet we serve the greatest king. We serve the King of Kings and God our Father, and we can come before God anytime. He doesn't have to hand out a scepter. He says, any of us on earth can come before him, bow down, and worship him, and we can do it anywhere for any reason. Isn't that amazing? The greatest king doesn't require that, but kings on earth say, well, no, I don't have time for you, or even my own wife. Unless you, you know, come at the right time, I might not accept you. It's amazing how loving and caring God is. But he wants us to follow what Paul said here and not worry, but petition him with thanksgiving, to offer that. You know, the author here in this article mentions other studies have shown that gratitude reduces social comparisons. Rather than becoming resentful toward people who have money or better jobs, grateful people are able to appreciate other people's accomplishments. Isn't that interesting? The more grateful we are, the more we give thanks, we actually, when somebody does well, instead of saying, I wish I had that, we appreciate that they were able to do that. So this is a trend in society, as we mentioned in the beginning, what Paul wrote Timothy, how at the end times, people would be unthankful, and it's going to continue to increase. Here in verse 11 of Philippians 4, Paul adds another little statement. He says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. So many times we always want more. You see the latest iPhone or the latest iPad or whatever it is, the newest car, like I got to have that. But Paul says, be content with what we have. It doesn't mean we can't save up for it. It doesn't mean we can't purchase it. But we're to look at it in a way to be grateful for everything we have and not always, you know, have envy or desire to have something before we're ready for it. So the more grateful we are, the less envious we are of other people's possessions or of their accomplishment or their positions. And this is how God wants us to be. Let me offer one last point that Ms. Morin mentioned in her article. Point number 6, gratitude increases mental strength. And so I know all of us want to think stronger and better. Here's what she says. For years, research has shown gratitude not only reduces stress, but it may also play a major role in overcoming trauma. A 2006 study found that Vietnam War veterans with higher levels of gratitude experienced lower rates of post-traumatic stress disorder. Recognizing all you have to be thankful for, even during the worst of times of your life, fosters resilience. So this is important to think about. Let me just give you the definition of resilience. It's the ability to recover quickly from setbacks, to be able to bounce back after a trial. And so no matter what trial we go through, we know God wants us to bounce back. He doesn't want us to be depressed for years and so forth. And so the more gratefulness we have, the more we express that, it literally helps us to go forward in life and forget some of the negative things that can pull us down, but to look forward, as Paul says. Let's look at an example of this real quick back in Numbers 14. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 1. You know, the background here is that the children of Israel, God was planning to take them into the promised land. And he said, well, I want you to pick a leader from each tribe, take those 12 men, go spy out the land, come back, give a report. Well, we know they gave a bad report, didn't they? They weren't very grateful for what God had done. And so 10 of the 12 spies anyway gave a bad report. Let's read here the first two verses of Numbers 14. It says, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. So, see, they heard this bad report, and they just all forgot about the God that was leading them, the God that had allowed those plagues to fall on Egypt and opening the Red Sea. They forgot about that. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. The children of Israel weren't very grateful, were they? God had done all these things for them. They had already forgotten. They hear a report about, they heard the land was abundant, but they also heard how big the people were and how walled their cities and how high their walls were. And they focused on that instead of on God. And so they were so ungrateful that they literally wanted to select a new leader just over that one report. Let's look at verse 6. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land." And so there's always two ways to look at things, isn't there? You know, some were looking at the negative side, and others were looking at the positive. If we look at verse 10 now, "And all the congregation said to stone them with stones." So because Joshua and Caleb had a positive report, the people turned against them. "Stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the meeting hall before all the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them?'" So even though God did all those miracles, they basically said that, you know, that we want to reject God and his leader and go do our own thing. And it's so easy for us to be ungrateful for the things that God does. If we skip down to verse 22, it says, "Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it." So it's important for us to have an attitude unlike the Israelites. God was doing so much for them, providing manna, protecting them, giving them water, taking them out of slavery, and yet they were ungrateful. They didn't give thanks. And so we know they eventually went into captivity because of the attitude they had. But we can learn from that. We realize then man's studies recognize what the Bible already tells us. You know, in everything give thanks. That's what God is asking us to do. As we express our appreciation, it adds quality to our life. And I know that that is what we all want. We enjoy having good lives. And the more we're grateful, the more that comes. Let's look at one other scripture here in closing, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. So, brethren, we've talked quite a bit about physical blessings, of which all of us have many to be thankful for. But I really didn't comment much on the spiritual blessings. I wrote out a list of a few things a while back, and I recommend all of you to do the same. But just think of the blessing just to have a church service, just to be able to come here and meet. Whereas people around the world, sometimes in their country, I've talked to one man in Europe once, he said there isn't even a church congregation in his whole country. And there's people, I talked to another man years ago who lived in Canada, and he said the closest church service was 500 miles. And so what a blessing we have that we should be thankful for. We can be thankful that we know the plan of God. So many blessings. Before I mention more, let's read here in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, because Paul reminds us of how important our spiritual blessings are. Ephesians 1 verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." All our spiritual blessings come from God. And we need to recognize that and respond and express our feelings of that. And so when you think about just having the knowledge of God's plan, what a spiritual blessing that is. To realize the majority of people on earth, they don't know their real purpose for existence. They don't understand how it's all going to unfold as the holy days show us. When you consider just the spiritual blessing of knowing that everyone who has ever lived will have a chance to be in the family of God, that God shows no partiality. And so everyone we know or everyone that's ever existed will have that opportunity. When you think about the angels God sets around us, the armor that he provides for us to wear, sometimes we don't put it on, but guess what? It's available for us to put on. When you consider the Bible, the very words of God we have written out and handed down, whereas so many people throughout history fought and died just to get a little bit of the Bible, just to even be able to go to the synagogue to read it. We have it in our homes, and many of us have multiple copies. What a spiritual blessing that is. When you consider that our bodies are the temple of God's Holy Spirit, what a blessing. Or when you think about that God has invited us to become the bride of his Son, Jesus Christ, to literally have a husband like that, that's perfect, loving, caring, and as spirit beings, we as a bride combined will be able to serve under that husband and truly honor him and respect him for all eternity. And we could go into more, just our calling, our baptism, the forgiveness, the mercy, the compassion of God, all these spiritual blessings that God provides. Notice verse 9 in Ephesians 1. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Brethren, we know what God's will is. He has revealed it through his scriptures, through his church, under the authority of Jesus Christ. Look at the spiritual blessings that he offers us. And so we should, as you get opportunity, write down the blessings you think of. And there are so many. Look at verse 15 now. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, Paul says, I do not cease to give thanks. There's the word again that we've been talking about today. In everything, give thanks. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And so we should be praying for the brethren. It's an opportunity for us to thank God for the brethren, for the work he's doing in all of us collectively. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So look at the gifts we have, spiritual gifts that God has offered to each one of us, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Just in those few verses, it mentions many of the spiritual blessings that we have. And so it should behoove us to be able to go to God often and thank him, not just one time, but every day for the rest of our lives, that he's doing all this for us. Physical blessings and spiritual blessings. And it's easy for us to overlook our blessings because we get familiar with them. We can take them for granted. But God is reminding us as his children to change that, to grow in doing better. So, brethren, the choice is ours. We can follow the trend of society, and as we saw what Paul said, that at the end times, people would be more and more unthankful. And we can follow that trend, or we can turn and look to God and abound in thanksgiving. We can grow in it. We can increase. Because we have so much to give thanks for. We have physical blessings that are numerous, spiritual blessings. And so we need to continue to add. If you build a list, just add to it. As the weeks and months go by, say, wow, I hadn't even thought about this. This is another blessing, and to thank God for that. So, brethren, during this season of the year, when our nation says we have Thanksgiving Day, but not only during that time, all throughout the year, we should really thank God and express it for the many things he has done, to thank others, to express it for their part in our life, what they've done, whether it's our parents raising us, whether it's our children and our love for them, we need to thank others more and more. So let's strive to do that so that we are preparing to become more like our Father in Jesus Christ, who are very thankful and express it to us. Let's follow their example and continue to express thanks in everything we do.